Space Cowboy Books presents Simultaneous Times, a science and speculative fiction podcast. Short stories to stir the imagination by contemporary authors.
The Time Traveler's Delivery by Hernan Bejnado, with music by Fog Machine, read by Zara Kand and Jean-Paul Garnier.
Customers almost never tip. Chrono couriers like me are always risking ourselves up and down wormholes to make deliveries. Not even my profile's bio nudges them to tip. Ruby Souza, mother of three. Biology teacher working as courier. Pick with Doba, my dachshund. Like last week, in 2187. Cute old lady in an airtight cottage on the moon. I brought her the good old printed spaghetti from 2098's Saladims. Folks like vintage food. She smiled at me, told me my job is lovely and noble, asked if lunar weather in the 21st century was already so dry. Guess what? She didn't tip. Not even one time coin, which could afford a peppermint tablet to chill me out during the most demanding deliveries. Like the one right now, delivering a radflesh pill from 2122 to 2108 to treat a miner's severe radiation sickness. It's tough because, one, it's sleety inside this wormhole. The skip pod wobbles a lot, and I get queasy. Two, Jan, my youngest, is sick, and as far as I'm allowed to go, 2300, there's no treatment but spending a lot of coins on palliatives. Three, the app's going to crunch 50% of the payment because I had to stay home yesterday taking care of Jan. The skip pod shimmies and rumbles out of the vortex into Enceladus' time port. Purple rays leak from the portal's mouth. It never behaved like this. I flinch, shifting to manual control and pulling the levers to dock. I must not crash. Even if the skip pod becomes useless junk, I'll still have to pay its hourly rent. I step out into the port, breath ragged, medicine pack under my arm. Lots of domes pockmark the land. Can't remember so many in 2108. An officer in a skin-tight exosuit walks towards me, frowning at my skip pod.
"We'll have to confiscate this,"
he says. "What the fires? There's a sick man waiting for me, mister."
"Your skip pod doesn't have a regulation tag."
"Is this a thing now?"
"Since earlier this year. All skip pods were registered, and all chrono couriers were compensated for years of underpaid services. We're in 2368. When are you from?"
That explains a lot. I'd hurtled through a wrong wormhole, and I'm far off of the company's registered years. "I'm from 2110. The man nods.
"Please follow me to register you and your skip pod."
"I'll do it as soon as I can." I walk back to my pod.
"Ma'am, it's better registering before any further travel."
I enter the skip pod and wipe the sweat on my brow. "Have to deliver a radflesh pill first, mister, before the company notices I'm out of their range. Can't leave anyone sick." I close the skip pod's hatch and set the controls to 2108. When I'm firing up through the wormhole, my control panel notifies me the miner has tipped me even before I arrive. 20 time coins. Generous tips are rarer than flushing yourself into the wrong wormhole. It might even afford a few peppermint tablets and a day off with my kids for a change.
The Names of My Children by Frank Slater, with music by Red Blue Black Silver, read by Jean-Paul Garnier. The vehicle made it clear that passengers would take a back seat. It moved through the cool, wet city, taking us further from the safe zone. Leanna gazed down her long nose at me. Her face in the half-light became more severe than usual. She tapped a code with her forefinger into the glowing dash. It was my car, but it only wanted her touch. Somewhere back in the fire-surrounded mists, my family waited, trusting that I would return to the shelter. The air crackled with electricity, killing my hope that we would be going back anytime soon. Emergency situations like that suck firefighters within the area. In undulating waves, they came to help, only to find that the available hardware wanted someone to play with. The solar radiation, the adult babies, and red flag warnings had not been enough. My vehicle, which was not Leanna's, curved through the burning spaces, propelling us towards the great concrete bunkers. Research into adaptive events had killed at least 13 people so far. The numbers would no doubt rise. But Leanna continued to smile, as though a plan of hers was working out nicely. My family would disagree. "You always fail me. Your car isn't much better. Can't you see how the flames lick at the heavens? The city is yours. Too bad there will be little left in the end." "I could be yours, but you cower under that suit of yours. Even the firemen have learned that the signal enters through the skin. Damn civilians. Ate it up just like the commercials told you to. You know they are testing you. Yet, here you are with me. Infinitely wiser than you. Keeping you safe even as we flee your dreams." Leanna, condescending as always, took from me as she pleased. Sirens pierced through the smoke. 100 houses burned all along what were once my streets. My suit tightened further. Skin crawled with anticipation, knowing the harm and wanting it badly. Leanna looked towards me smiling, teeth glowing orange. She matched the sky in most regards, but she wasn't falling for it. She navigated the flames as though they were imaginary. Perhaps they were, but I could still hear screams matching the volume of the moving sirens. From the window, I saw a man tearing at his suit. The buckles changed position as he clawed at them. The colors changed until he could not tell his own body from the surrounding wreckage. His fingers bled as he tried to remove the asphalt from the burning road circling his feet. Comical dances completed the horror music that dragged through the suburban night. Police fired warning shots straight up. Pop, pop, pop. They were trying to time the shots with the rest of the music. The dancing man falls to ashes. Leanna's smile grows in intensity. They flash from orange into rainbows of terror. But it is not her terror. She is feeding on the ruptured waves of the satellite. She didn't need a suit. Her mind had undone the frequencies prior to my abduction. As when old men throw yet another log onto the fire, the sparks spiral into the whirling void. The fire sings like an out-of-tune children's choir. The parents sit with pleased looks on their faces as they endure the cacophony. My children have become tinder by now. Leanna sings a poisonous lullaby with touches of triumph. She believes she has freed me from the shackles of modernity. While it isn't true, I'm elated by the ever-tightening suit. They knew to make our downfall entertaining, but who knew it would be this rapturous? I squirmed in my seat to the rhythm of the screams. Pop, scream, pop, pop, scream. Leanna writhed in gross pleasure, knowing I couldn't hold out much longer. Sun falls behind a new tower of smoke. The debris starts assembling into the wall we must pass. The car coos at her touch. She reaches out to it like an animal in heat. The controls warm by the fire, which employs all direction. Firemen spray each other with hoses, ignoring the blaze. A racing pack of dogs leaps from their last meal into the burning windows of what had once been my office. The same room where the code was identified and my life was brought to its knees. Gazing into muddy knee prints, the faces of my children stare back, expressionless. I don't need the skin transmission to know what comes next. I caved to her along the way. She stopped smiling at the moment of connection. She enjoys the game more than victory. When I tear up, she slaps me, and the vehicle skids to a halt in the embers. Her eyes say, "Get out." Fear has paralyzed me, but the fire awaits. The suit reinforces her decision. Trying to mouth the names of my children, I fall from the open door. Leanna slams it behind me and stares through the window. My suit becomes yellow. Hungry flames counter the change by turning blue. All of the city lit up like neon. The burning blue eats families. Tasting my wife's disappointment, I join the fire in its pursuit. The firemen spray me down, all the while chanting in playground sing-song. Leanna dances on the roof of the car she has purchased for me with pain. The suit turns the same blue as the growing torrent. I can't tell my body from the fire now. Sweat stings my eyes that sparkle in all Leanna's dancing glory. I know now that I wanted defeat. Still singing, the firemen turn off the water and reconnect the hoses to an overturned gasoline truck. The signals from the satellite become visible through the billowing black smoke. I tear at my suit, only to find it has become one with my flesh. Leanna zeroes in on me, sensing the joining. Her smile is cobalt blue now. She is tonguing a tooth, looking for the source of the signal. She kneels on the roof and bangs her face into the warming metal, spits the tooth at me. It crawls into the suit pocket and strengthens the satellite's outpour. It's all clear to me now. Everything smells of gasoline as they cleanse our modern achievements. Again, they wet me down. The wavelengths are visible to us alone. Pulling the tooth from the pocket, my suit resists. Managing to wiggle it free, I swallow it and find the signal strengthening still. Blue light emits from my mouth. I forget the names of my children, trying to call out for them, but only repeating Leanna's name. She mocks the mannerisms of my wife, and I know then that Leanna is all that remains of the people I once knew. She knows it too. She basks in her success. The suit is overtaking me. Crawl toward the flames, loops in what's left of my mind, nearly replaced by the satellite. "You lack what the fire wants," she scolds me even as I am engulfed. She sneers that I don't belong where the family ended up. "Drag that hollow suit to the office," she commands. I am putty to her. Again, the signal comes on strong. She's an antenna for my fears. My skin makes the crinkling sound of pork rinds munched by the devil. The sound joins the signal and enters the cosmos piggybacked on the microwave carrier. A blue streak X's out my periphery. She has left along with the car. I can't tell her laughter from the flames. The faces of my family wash away down the streaming gutter. Firemen are clearing the slag from the streets. I flow with the mess. In a river of Leanna's tears, I dream of repeating the last days. Her tooth is the last thing I can know. Words gone. Suit tightens further. Signal dissolves the last flesh with luminous intensity. My name puffs into smoke along with the others. In this episode of Simultaneous Times, you heard The Time Traveler's Delivery by Hernán Bernardo, with music by Fog Machine, and The Names of My Children by Frank Slater, with music by Red, Blue, Black, Silver. Theme music by Dane Luscombe. Be sure to check out our online store at bookshop.org/shop/Space Cowboy Books. And don't forget to subscribe to Simultaneous Times Podcast. Also, find us on Instagram and Twitter. We'd love to hear what you think of the show.